This is Graphically Novel, a podcast about three brothers who like each other but love comic books. I'm Jamie.
I'm Sam.
Josh.
And we are back. Took some time off. You know, a couple of us were under the weather for a while, but everybody's right-ish.
Close enough.
We're in the ballpark of healthy, so we're going to record. And we are doing the show we previewed last time. We're going to be reviewing Vision Volume 2, Little Better Than a Beast. And Josh, we're going to be doing a few structural changes to the show. And so Josh is going to be defending himself and also introducing the pick. So Josh, this was your pick. This was your baby. I don't think any of us are mad about it, but defend yourself. Why Vision 2?
I don't know that I need to defend it because I saw the grades from Volume 1, and we all really liked it. And since it was a complete miniseries, just two volumes, I thought, why would we not do the second volume just to see how the story goes? So that was the main reason, just to finish it up and get the end of the story.
Closure.
Get some closure, exactly. And I've got the summary pulled up, and it's not the summary for Volume 2 because I did all of my notes out of the complete series, so the summary is going to be for all 12 issues, so it may not be specific to what we're getting ready to talk about. So, all right, here we go. Comixology summary. Vision wants to be human, and what's more human than family? So he heads back to the beginning, to the laboratory where Ultron created him as a weapon, the place where he first rebelled against his destiny and imagined that he could be more. That he could be a man. There, he builds them. A wife, Virginia. Teenage twins, Viv and Vin. They look like him. They have his powers. They share his greatest ambition or obsession, the unrelenting need to be ordinary. Behold the visions. Theirs is a story of togetherness and tragedy, one that will set the Android Avenger on course for a devastating confrontation with Earth's mightiest heroes. And that's what we get in Volume 2, the confrontation with the Avengers.
Yes.
And boy, howdy do we.
Yep.
Also, we forgot to mention that we are no longer doing a spoiler-free section of the show. It's all spoilers from beginning to end. So sorry if we spoil anything there. We also are moving the creator credits to the beginning of the podcast. So this bad boy was written by Tom King, art by Gabriel Hernandez-Walta, with issue 7 by Michael Walsh. Colors by Jordy Belair, letters by VC's Clayton Cowles, and covers by Mike Del Mundo. And we are going to be doing the summary at the beginning. And if you enjoyed our bite-sized breakdown segment, you're the only ones. We haven't enjoyed doing those in a long time, so we're just going to read the summary instead. We're assuming that if you're listening to this podcast, you've either read the book or you don't care, so we're not doing the breakdowns anymore. So let's jump into the live-action Batman grades, and this is our eccentric grading scale based on the men who have played Batman in live action, and that scale is from best to worst: Bell, Affleck, Keaton, West, Kilmer, and poor George Clooney. And I am first out of the gate on this one, and I think I did a Bale first time. It's a Bale again, and it is a Bale for the entire series. This is an emotionally powerful conclusion to my favorite maxi series of all time. I love this thing. It's got my highest of recommendations. If you like comic books, you should read this. If you don't like comic books, you should read this. If you like Marvel movies or comic books, you should read this. If you don't, you should still read this.
That's my recommendation. Like, I gave it Affleck. I think I gave it Affleck last time too.
You're also wrong.
It's great. if you're just grading the volume, it has some little plot holes. I think some little things I want to question. We will question them later in the pyramid. But as a whole, it is great. I agree with everything you said. You should read it. It's an awesome show. Affleck is not a bad grade. I'll give that as a whole too.
Far too low, though.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. We definitely don't need the Pattinson this week because we've got all the right grades, and Bale is the right grade. I went Affleck on Volume 1, and that was way back in our earlier episodes where I guess I was not as accustomed to different art styles as I am now. And I remember the art really got on my nerves. Now that I went back and reread it, I like the art style and the story, the characters. It's a bell. The whole series is a bell. You're right, Jamie. Go read it. And comics or not, I mean, I'm assuming you like comics. You're listening to our comic-based show, but go read this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's a powerful story. If you like fiction, you should read this.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so it's time for the graphically novel Pyramid. And I don't have my segues in front of me. And after a three-week break, I have no idea what I usually say here.
The three things we think a comic needs to have to be a good comic.
There you go. And the first of these is story.
Lead us off.
All right. I think one of the things that is interesting about Tom King is Tom King is probably famous mostly for writing this series and doing his long run on Batman. I know we read that This is Gotham, the very first volume of the Tom King run on Batman. I think it ended up being close to 100 issues. I enjoyed it, but most Batman fans didn't. I think after that first volume or two, I think there were flaws there. But I think none of like Tom King's like flaws as a writer show up in a maxi series. And I think a maxi series is what he does best. Give him a short window to have laser focused on one character or a group of characters. Let him tell a single emotionally powerful story, and it's awesome. And so he got to really drill down here on Vision and his family. You get a lot of character. You get a lot of characterization. You get a lot of plot, you know, really deep, powerful, emotional plot points. And this is what Tom King should be doing. If I was his boss at DC, we would just be doing one maxi series after another. I'd find some obscure character for him to revive and make powerful and just, you know, tell, you know, give me 12 issues, Tom. Let's move on. Because he's awesome at this.
You know, he did do a good job with the story. I enjoyed the story a whole lot. And, you know, the way it flows, it's not only is it a superhero, it's also a revenge. It's a family. It's built on this family that has something done wrong to them. Their boy was killed by the uncle. And they're androids, but they have these human emotions, and it's like wreaking havoc on them. And then you see Vision want revenge. Like, it goes Old Testament on them, eye for an eye, you know. And like I really enjoyed that aspect of like that, to be a superhero story, to have that kind of revenge going into it. Like, man, that's cool. I did enjoy that a lot.
I love that moment where he's going, you know, Victor is alive, my son is dead. I was like, I have evaluated every philosophical religious system in the world. There are none where this is just.
Yep.
It's like, that is bad, but.
Yeah. And then everybody's like trying to stop him with Avengers. That's where my questions come into. Like, all these Avengers, Wanda, just everybody's trying to stop him. He's like, if you're not here to help, get out of the way. That's all I'm asking. Don't try to stop me. This is happening. We're going to do this. And then, like, the Avengers want to fight him all stuff. So, did he kill anybody? Did Wasp die? Did Wanda die? I don't think so.
I think Vin's the only one that make it in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, he's sticking his arm right through their chest and like they're collapsing. He laser his forehead with them and all that stuff. I'm like, man, that's pretty brutal what he's doing. I get it.
Yeah.
Being a fighter and all. Like, yeah.
I like to think he hit Iron Man with the laser beam, and he was hitting everybody in their armor or their shields and just knocking them down. And I think he went in and like pinched a nerve in Wanda or something to collapse her. I don't think he actually done anything major.
Well, I think when he phases through people, it like disrupts their electrical current in their body or whatever. Like it messes you up and you just kind of fall down. But
if nothing else, it's probably uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, unless you do what Virginia did and you reach inside and you don't phase through, you phase in and pull the heart out.
Right.
Yeah. That's a little more permanent.
That was pretty good, too. He's like, Ben is in distress. You need to be home. I'll see you there. Like nothing just happened.
Yep. That's so good.
Yeah. It really was. And for me, the story vies with characters on being the best part of this. The story. The layout, the pacing, everything, it's a solid, solid story. It's constructed well. And just the story premise itself. Vision, this android who was created by, you know, Ultron to kill the Avengers, decides to have a family. And you're thinking, there's no way they're going to be a normal family. But throughout these 12 issues, and especially the second half, you see they're a family. They kind of squabble. You know, they're doing their stuff. The kids kind of get on each other's nerves, but they're still family. They're still friends. Vision has his revenge. Virginia has problems dealing with stuff. Like, for all the point of them being an android, they're just like a regular family. I mean, they have all their kind of stuff that other families have. So I thought to get that in the story, just it worked so well.
I think too that there's some kind of theme in here. I haven't quite got exactly what Tom King's trying to say, but there's something going on here about how, I mean, that every family, like, you know, Vision wanted a cookie cutter family. He wanted to be like everybody else. And there's something in there where Tom King is saying, like, look, not everybody, nobody's like everybody else. Every family is unique. Every family's got their own dynamic. And this is like, in normal is, you know, at some level is kind of an illusion. Everybody's got their own trauma. They've got their own, you know, baggage they're packing around.
And they got their own Reaper buried in the backyard.
Well,
metaphorically speaking,
some people's baggage is bigger than others.
But I think that's kind of the point, is that he wanted a normal family and he got a normal family. That is, I mean, take the superhero parts out of it, but I mean, their relationship and the way they interact is basically a normal family.
Yeah. Yeah. But, normal is a mess.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I did want to call out issue 7. There are times, I think, when you do a complete dedicated flashback issue that it doesn't work because it interrupts the story too much. But I think that one, I think it worked, especially because you see how it ties in his original relationship with the Scarlet Witch, and how at the last panel you see him and Virginia in bed and it ties it all together. And I think it doesn't interrupt the story too much. You know, there are times when I get a full issue of background or flashback where it just detracts. I lose where I'm at in the story. It interrupts the flow. But I think this one was done pretty well.
Well, it's not just the issue. There's a couple of lengthy flashbacks. Like that whole, I think it's like about, I think adds it to over half an issue of the flashback with Victor. His backstory of how he was created and how he got addicted to how androids can abuse vibranium.
Yeah, that was was the issue 9 of the whole series, or issue 3 of the film.
But I thought that all the times they did that, because there's another one later on too where we see that may have been issue 7 too, when they go back and we see what happened with Agatha. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which issue that was in, but
that was in the first volume where you see her.
Was it
when she's on Mount Wendigore and she's. Yeah. Yeah, that was in the first volume. Yeah.
Well, I flipped through it all again today.
Yeah.
but I think that those flashbacks and that backstory was all really well done. And I'm with you. Like that can really disrupt the flow of a book. Except Tom King nailed it. I mean, it just really works. And like it feels like, and when they're done, like it's timed well. This is information we need to move on in the story.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
move on to the art then. Sam, what do you think about the art?
All right, so we're going to start with what Josh was talking about, issue 7, the flashback. The art was done different. Not my favorite style, but you could tell it was done for a flashback issue. I have no complaints with it. I enjoyed the art. The red was amazing in issue 7, because it was Scarlet Witch. And also, that's the WandaVision issue. You got the white Vision and stuff, and it was pretty cool to see that. But then, as a whole, it does have this different feel. I mean, it's not my favorite art style, but it's done well. I love everything about all the colors saturated. There's no wasted space. All my criteria is met for a good art. So, like, you know, no plain backgrounds. You know, everything, the fights were clear. Like him flying, his anger face, Android having an anger face. I mean, all that stuff, the emotions they got across in the faces. I mean, you know, all of them are different designs. I did have a question about one guy, though. There's a shirtless Captain America fighting in one of the flashbacks in issue 7.
Really? I don't remember that.
I almost used him as my wild card. Can we find what page he's on? It's in issue 7 when Wanda and him are standing in front of a tree kissing. Here it is. Page 136. You look in the background Somebody says repulsor rates.
See, he's I haven't read this era of the Avengers. I don't think that's Steve Rogers. I'm not sure who that is.
I don't think it is, but it's Captain America's shield and a shirtless dude holding it.
But that is wearing Hydra, like a shirtless Hydra outfit.
Yeah, it does. Say that, Hydra Bob.
But, you know, saying all that.
How did he get the shield?
Right. But it's so good. The art all the way through, yeah. I think, is really good. And you can tell when it's flashbacks and stuff, but costumes, everybody's distinct, got their own personality, whatever, in their face. You can see how they're different. I really enjoyed this art.
I thought there were a couple of places where it looked a little rushed. There's a couple of faces that looked kind of unfinished. But I'm with you, and I like Gabriel Hernandez Walter. I think he's a good artist. I think he's kind of a weird artist to pick to do a story featuring the Avengers. Like, knowing his art, I wouldn't have picked him to do this series. I think he did a really good job. And I think that he's really good at not just faces, but like postures, like, and just the way he, you know, sets up pages. Like, he's really good at getting emotion across. And so I think that's why his art works so well for the series.
Even the Dark Side lightning bolts Victor had was pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't know Victor was a Sith.
I didn't either. The time I seen it. What do you say? We went all Palpatine on Victor?
That was a scene and a half. That was a lot. It may come up again in the awards later.
Yeah, it probably will. Yeah, and I mentioned earlier when I was defending the pick that when I reviewed the first volume, I was reading my notes, and the visions reminded me of zombies. You know, the green hair, the pupilless eyes. It was just, it was a weird, it hit my eye weird. And I guess after, you know, 2 years now, I've seen some stuff that it didn't seem to affect me. I just looked at them and totally just rolled with it when I revisited it.
Has it really been 2 years since we reviewed the first volume?
It's been close.
Wow. Most, but ain't
time flies.
Yet. Yeah, because some of our year one reviews were awards for the Visions, so it was in the first year. Yeah, it's been a while.
That's how memorable this book is. It felt like we reviewed this I thought it was within this calendar year, like within a year of episodes.
Yeah, when I went back to find my notes, I started at the most recent notes and was working my way back, and I got almost to the bottom of the list. I'm like, "Ooh, it's been a little bit," but I guess that was just new to comics or new back into comics and wasn't ready for that style. But this time they didn't bother me at all, and I thought to be Synthezoids, their faces were so expressive. Vision when, like you said, Sam, when he's game face time, you know, he's going to go fight the Avengers. You see the determination, you know, when Virginia is sitting at the coffee table and she's kind of falling apart a little bit, you see that in her eyes, you see the distress, you know, and especially that scene with Viv when she breaks the table after Virginia gives her memory of when CK died, you know, Viv, you see the anger. I mean, to be Synthezoids, you're kind of like android robots. You wouldn't expect them to be so expressive, but they are. Their faces were really well. I think that was the highlight of the art for me. I could always look at them, even without reading anything. I could just look and be like, okay, I know what they're feeling at this time.
Well, I think from like issue 8 on, everybody's a mess.
Yeah. falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, Vin is struggling, and he's like manically reading and performing Shakespeare. Viv is, you know, depressed and really struggling with losing CK, and she's falling into obsession. Virginia's coming apart at the seams because she's done what, you know, essentially she's not supposed to be able to do, which is lie and be deceptive, and so it's messed up her programming. Vision's trying to hold it all together, and he's under an incredible amount of stress. Victor has showed up, and he's struggling with addiction. And, I mean, everybody's a mess, and you see it on their faces nonstop, even when they're not saying dialogue. And Tom King never explains that they're feeling those things. We just hear it and how the dialogue is written, and we see it and how they're drawn. It's awesome.
It's funny because I normally say they're a cheesy sign off their cracker, but in this one I put they are stripping gears.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much going on here.
Yeah.
And I felt like the emotional story beats, I mean, they're all there in the art too. I mean, a lot of the weight, the heavy lifting that's done emotionally is in the art.
Yeah. And I think it plays into the story that we're being told and then the characters themselves. The art just blends it together. Like, I totally buy the story of them trying to be a family and seeing them all struggling so hard and really identifying with each character, and the art conveys all that for us, and it works with the storytelling. You almost get as much story told through the art as you do through the actual story itself, through the dialogue. And there wasn't a whole lot of action, but I thought what we got was solid. I mean, it didn't blow me away. It wasn't the greatest fight scene I've ever seen with, you know, the Avengers, but it was solid. There wasn't anything
was very clear. Was bad.
Yeah, I knew what was going on. You know, I could tell that the Avengers were trying to hold back a little bit because it's their friend Vision. I can see Vision's not going out of his way to just, you know, phase his arm into everybody's chest and pop them open. Like, you can tell there's some restraint on both sides, but it's still dynamic action. Like, it's still a good scene. Yeah, yeah.
I did think there were a couple of places, or not places, a couple of the Avengers that Walta wasn't the best at drawing. Like, I felt like Iron Man wasn't very good. Like, his Iron Man wasn't the best. Wasp was okay. I think there were a couple of places she didn't look great. I think Sam Wilson, he was Captain America at this time. I didn't think his costume looked great as drawn by Walta. But other than that, I mean, I really love the art.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints on it.
Yeah. I mean, that's being super nitpicky, because I thought they still looked good enough. I mean, they still looked okay. I mean, and those were like, that's the most negative I can be about it.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, characters. What you got?
Well, I think I spoiled a little bit what my main point is here, is they feel like a family. I think that was my main point in the story, is that you really start seeing how they're a family and their family interactions. And you see Vision as a character develop from just an android superhero. He's a dad. I mean, he protects his family. His son gets killed. He goes on his vengeance streak. Like, that is a completely human father-like thing to do. You know, that I think that develops him more as a character than just Vision the Avenger. And same thing with Virginia. I mean, just watching her fall apart through these last six issues and then see her ultimate sacrifice to, you know, get vengeance for her son, but to also save Vision, to keep him from killing Victor, because she is fully aware that that's going to put him on a slope that he's not going to come back from. That's going to change his path.
Enter the world.
Yeah. So to see her make that sacrifice while also getting vengeance, it's, again, there's a very mom-like thing to do, you know, to sacrifice herself for her family. So I think these last six, the first issues, the first volume was a good setup to introduce that they're trying to be a family. I think this second volume was all just they're willing to make any sacrifice any other family would make. Like, I can see any mom making those decisions and doing the things Virginia did. So it just, as weird as they are, I mean, they were a legitimate family.
I think he does a good job here giving someone an interesting like moment or a development to happen to them. I mean, Vin had the worst one. I mean, but
yeah.
But like, so like, you know, Viv is dealing with losing her friend CK, and then she loses her brother. And I mean, and then to find out that her mom was the one that took CK's life, which I would say CK's dad did, but I mean, the mom was present involved, and how that wrecked her. And we see Virginia, you know, she makes the decision to eat the flower, and then to, you know, make those consequences not happen, to do that herself. And, you know, for the first time, Vision has to decide, like, you know, I'm about to go wreck the Avengers. But then at the end, he has to decide, well, I'm gonna cooperate with Virginia's lie for the sake of my family. It's something he had never done before. So, I mean, everybody has an interesting thing they do. Even Victor's whole dealing with his addiction and how that messes him up and how it makes him lose control. Everybody gets something interesting to do. I thought that was incredibly well done.
I agree. I said all my notes. I didn't have a whole lot down for characters. Other than that, they were good. And it, like Josh said, it felt like a family. And they pulled at your heartstrings. Like, you wanted good stuff to happen for them. You could see it not happen.
Yeah, he. I mean, King is really good at making you care about these characters.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about having such a there was a lot of people in this, especially once you get the Avengers, but the main focus are the four Visions, and then you get Victor. So you really only have five characters. So we really had a lot of time with each of these characters. We got to see a lot of interactions with them, and that really, you start feeling for them. Like, you get attached to them because you have so much time with them. Yeah, even the dog. I mean, the dog's in a lot of panels. Although I'm kind of sad, I don't think I got the floating mailbox that I liked so much from the volume
never
one.
Never showed back up. We got Sparky. We got floating dog.
Well, we got a floating dog, so it made up for it. But
I think he was in the background once. The
mailbox. Best game of fetch ever.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I missed it. Yeah. But I just think, like you said, Jamie, for a maxi series, we've got 12 issues. We really had four characters for the first half, and then we got a fifth character to add into the end. We got a lot of time with these people, and I think that really helps you identify with them and get invested in the story. Like, you know, you're I fully bought into it.
It's what Tom King does best. Let him be laser focused for 12 issues and get in and get out. I mean, he's writing it may be over by now. I'm not sure. I'm reading it on DC Universe on their app, so I'm behind. But like, he's writing a Rorschach series right now. It's got about three characters in it, three real characters. Man, it is so good. I mean, his Batman was okay. I like his Batman series, but you could feel it kind of wandering off. And it's like, this just you don't need to be writing series that are 100 issues long. this is not your skill set.
Awesome.
Yeah. You want to get some awards?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I am first on best cover, and I'm going to go with cover 11 on page 214. And we forgot to mention this earlier. We are all using the complete series graphic novel. And so this is all 12 issues in one, and that's why the page numbers are much further along than if you just have a volume 2 in your hands. But this is the cover of page 11, and it's Sparky playing the greatest game of, you know, fetch / catch ever. I don't know why he's catching Captain America shield in this panel. But, I mean, this cover, it never happened in the book. Anything remotely similar to this, yeah. It did look cool. I mean, you can see the background, Vision's burying something. It just looks really cool.
Yeah. That's a good
one. I thought you were going to pick that one.
Yeah.
I went with a different route. I went with page 131. It's issue 7 or issue 2 in this one. The Scarlet Witch cover. I just liked the reds and the way he looked in it. I thought it was an interesting cover.
That was a good one. Well, they're all good, but there was one I thought one of us would pick. I thought was probably the right answer.
It's probably one I'm getting ready to tell you. It's issue 9 on page 173.
No, that's not what I thought it would be.
I got a kick out of that one. His family's falling apart, and there's a bunch of poor circuits and wires and part of a Ben's head in the trash can. Just yeah.
I thought somebody was going to pick cover 10 on page 194. The circuitry family tree.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a real striking image.
I
didn't care for that one as much.
Really?
Honestly. Yeah.
Scarlet Witch one was my favorite.
All right. I've been wrong occasionally. It happens. Time to time. About annually, I try to be wrong. all right. Variants. So I pick variant covers?
Yeah.
I did not, because I realized there was about 200 pages of extras in the back of this, and a lot of it was story concept and sketch art, and I did not dig through it for alternate covers, so I do not have one.
Yeah,
but I will look at yours if you have some picked.
All right, Josh, I'm going to tell you what your variant cover is.
Okay.
On page 256, the bottom of that one is the cover 2 variant. By Mike Del Mundo.
Yep.
It's the floating mailbox. It's a whole cover of the floating mailbox.
Yeah. We picked it for you.
I like it. It's even got a little, the flags up to indicate there's mail inside of it. And it's got the email icon from like an iPhone or something with a little one, like there's a message inside. That's good.
Okay, I'm trying to find mine because I wrote down the cover it was, and I can't find. I didn't write in the page number. So Sam, tell me what yours is.
Mine's on page 277. It's a variant for issue 8, and it's Vision on the front. It looks like Ultron behind his head.
Oh, that's a good
one. I just liked it. It's a classic superhero pose thing.
That might be the right answer.
I really don't.
That's my style of art, too, that Vision's in there.
You helped me find mine. Mine is the next page. It has the Russian nesting dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's mine. It's the for issue 8. It's by the main artist, Gabriel Hernandez Walta. I just love that. And under the fourth one, we don't have V and we have the skull. Yep. Showing that, you know, this is the issue that he died in. So
I'll call one out here because I'm looking. Go back a couple pages to 274. That's the grayed out vision with the purple background.
Yeah.
That purple caught my eye just scanning through the thumbnails there.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
I'll take the win on that one.
Man, we're competing early.
He's taking it.
Didn't even. He's only been off a couple weeks that we're already wanting to compete about stuff.
No debate. I won that one. It's easy.
Mm. Sam, who's your best character?
Virginia. I loved her character. I love seeing her slowly degrade into madness and then try to redeem herself at the very end. She didn't try. She did redeem herself at the very end. Sacrificed herself for her family. It was just very emotional, and I become attached to the lady.
Yeah, that's who I have too. And yeah. Josh, you have her too?
Okay. Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah. What I think is amazing about Virginia's story through the whole series is that, I mean, she does a lot of horrible stuff, and a lot of horrible stuff happens around her. But every single decision she makes, you can see how you would make, like, a person would make that decision. Yeah.
You can understand that thought process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you just really feel for her because she's in some ways brand new to the world, and she's trying to figure things out, and the world is not helping her out. I'm sure we've all had, you know, days, weeks, months, maybe years where it feels like everything you do is the wrong thing. And it's just what happened to Virginia. She did nothing malicious through this entire series, but everything she did, you know, didn't work out.
Yep. Just a little wrong.
Yep.
Makes you feel for the lady.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because everything she did not just didn't have malice, it was well intentioned.
Mm-hmm. It didn't turn out good for her.
Yep. All right, Josh, what was your best panel?
All right. Well, since we've had a break, I thought I had built up some goodwill, so I'm cheating pretty hard on this one. My best panel is all of page 195. There are 9 panels on there. But it's Vision sitting in a dark room with the lighter that Captain America gave him, and he's just flipping it on, and then he's closing the lighter, and then he's flipping it on, and then he's closing the lighter. And just, for me, I think that would be a fantastic scene to film in the movie, just watching Vision flicking the lighter off and on and off and on and just watching his face. Like, I feel like most of the time in this, Vision outwardly is not showing much of stress. He seems pretty well put together and he's handling stuff. But I thought these one group of panels here just highlighted that the dude's under stress. He's feeling it.
Yeah, you can, like, his frown slowly gets more frowny. You can see his eyes get more angry.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the next page where he talks about how he's evaluated things to see if there's any situation where this could be a just outcome.
Yeah.
And there isn't. Yeah. I think that's exactly what's happening in those panels. He's trying to find the justice in this, and he can't find any. And you just see that frown deepening.
He just lost his son, and he's just sitting in a dark room, flicking a lighter off and on, thinking about things, getting ready. He's winding himself up to go get his vengeance.
Yeah, when that light goes off on that last panel, I think that's what this decision has already been made. Yep.
Yeah. So I know it was a cheat because it was 9 panels, but I thought that was a really good sequence.
I support your cheat.
Okay. Got it. Unfortunately.
Appreciate it. All right. On mine, I'm going to go on page 166, panel 2.
What page?
And I just 166. Panel 2. And that's when I just thought that was a really sort of moody panel. Scene in general, but that was sort of like the most, I thought, emotional sort of wrenching panel there. Because, I mean, Viv's been torn up by losing CK. He was like the one person who was interested in her. And you can tell she had kind of a crush on him or something. But there was a bond there, and she lost him. And, you know, she's a teenager. She's a teenage girl, and she's, you know, still young, you know, and not a lot of life experience yet. And so she's at his grave, but she's doing it in a very, you know, Viv Vision kind of way. She's half in the earth, you know, over his grave, which means she's probably standing on his coffin.
Well, I think she went down in his coffin because in the next page, her first line is, "I should not have seen that." I think she went down and looked at him, and Victor's like, "Yeah, I tried to tell you not to." So I think she went all the way in the coffin. Like,
I didn't think
you're right. Her obsession was she had to even go see his dead body in the coffin.
Yeah, I didn't think she'd done that. I didn't think she would have. I think you're right.
Because the panel above it, it's her head's coming out of the ground, and then the panel below the one you called out, she's all the way up. So my impression was she was coming from inside the casket.
So I was imagining her touching the casket. I wasn't imagining her in the casket, but I think you're probably right. I mean, as obsessed as she was, she would have done that.
Yeah.
But anyway, but the art on that page and that panel especially just really gathers, I think, really what she's going through.
Yeah.
And how it's the perfect gloomy mood set there. Am I saying? Yep.
All right. So page 228 in his panel 6. And it's the vision right before his stone in his forehead goes off. It's starting to turn black, whatever his angry face. Page 228. You'll see it's a little yeah. bit. And that just shows you how much of despair he was in. I like it.
Yeah. Apparently, synthesoids can have emotions.
The whole family did for a while.
Yep. That's a tough page to read, though, because it's alternating panels between him fighting the Avengers and her taking out Sparky so she could do the Wundagore thing.
Yeah, and at first you don't realize the dog's eaten the bloom.
Yeah.
But you think she's been losing it. I mean, you're like, okay, she's finally lost it. Yeah, I think because wasn't it right before that she was talking to, that's when she gave Viv her memory, and she was saying, you know, whether Vision kills Victor, they're going to dismantle us because we're his evil creations, or if he doesn't, they're still going to dismantle us. So she thinks she's dying, so she's like just taking it out on the dog. Yeah, that was hard to read.
Yeah. All right. Best dialogue. I'm up first, and I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to go with multiple panels on page 248. And it's when Virginia's dying, and she's sort of explaining to Vision what she's done and why. But she says that after she ate the flower, she said that she saw the future. She said, I saw you destroy the planet, the future, for us, for me. And I could not. And she's still her computer stuff is breaking down even more. So there's a lot of repeating in here. But she said, you saved the world 37 times. I saved it once. It was nice.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. It was one I had picked originally. Then I decided to go with a different one. And this is when Vision's like in his murderous rampage, but he doesn't actually kill anybody. And it's like just talking says, perhaps I am what the Wasp called me, a vision of death. I just like that when he was thinking of that to himself. Like he's just, that's his mindset now. I did nice. Like James.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Josh? That's good.
All right, I went with one I thought we were going to all pick here. It's on page 217. It's Vision when he first shows up at the prison to kill Victor, and he's addressing all the Avengers that have assembled to stop him. And I'll read just a couple of lines here. I understand that due to his role in the death of my neighbors and my son, actions undertaken under your supervision, Victor Mancha, is being held here in the Arlington Courthouse Jail. I'm here to visit Victor in his cell. Then I will kill him for killing Vin. I would greatly appreciate your cooperation in this matter. However, I do not require your cooperation in this matter. You know, just the way he laid it out, just in my head, I heard that just so cold and matter of the fact, no emotions. He's just like, this is what I'm going to do. This is why I'm doing it. I don't need your help, but, you know, it's going to happen.
And this is the look of shock on her faces as he's talking.
Yeah. And then Iron Man dumbly calls out his next move. Oh, I've got this thing. I've got this bomb that's going to hold you in place. It's like, why would you not just throw it?
Yeah.
Just give him time to react.
He's doing the bad guy monologue.
He wasn't going to have time to react.
Yeah.
Vision was primed and ready.
Yeah. I do not require your cooperation.
I love that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you probably won that one. All right, Sam, what was your best full page spread? And there is a right answer on this one.
I've got two wrote down.
Then you thought too hard about it.
Which one did I? Let me look at it real quick. Well, I'll go with 240.
You chose
I like that one. That was after everything went down and he's back home. He's just standing outside of his door before he goes back in the house.
And he's looking at that lighter from Captain America.
Yep. I like that one a lot.
That's a good one. It's wrong, but that's a good one.
All right.
Josh, are you right?
Probably not. I'm going with page 212.
Double page.
It's after he took the lighter and busted out of the house, and I labeled it game face on my notes. He's 100% concentration. He's going to take care of business.
Oh, yeah. That's the right answer, I think. That one is just vision at his baddest.
I don't like that he doesn't look like his face is not. He doesn't look like the same Vision in other panels, like the shape of his jaw and stuff. Like he doesn't really look the same.
Got the big lantern jaw.
He does.
But yes, maybe he's just grimacing that hard.
I mean, he can change his density. Maybe he got an extra dense jaw so he couldn't get knocked out or something. Yeah.
But that's a great page, though.
Yeah, that's the two I had. I wrote down page 240, sad Vision, and 212, angry Vision. I went with the sad one. I thought it was better.
All right, so our last award is best kicked in the feels moment. And Josh, when did Tom King kick you in the feels the hardest?
I've got two. And since I can't decide, I'm just going to go with the chronologically the one that comes first in the volume. It's on page 176. It's when Vin's getting Emperor Palpatine with the lightning, and he calls out mother like three or four times, and then he yells mommy, and it's to imagine a teenage boy,
he's a kid,
you know, especially a robot, he's calling for his mother because they're always so proper. And then, yeah, that mommy, that got me. I was like, oh, that one was rough.
Yeah, there were two I could not choose between. You took one of them off the table, so I appreciate that.
You may have. Hopefully you got my other one.
The other one is Virginia dying on the couch. And,
no, that wasn't either.
That was my other one. And from the moment when she tells Vision to sit down because her head is tired and she would like to put it on his shoulder. To the time where,
249.
Yeah. To the point where she's dying in his lap on the couch. Just that whole thing really just. There's a chance the first time I read this, the room got dusty.
A good one.
Now I know it's coming and it's still a gut punch.
It is a gut punch. That same one I have. And Josh's was a really good one too, but I went with Virginia. I put Virginia's death scene. It's 243 to 249. It's the whole explanation of what happened and how she done it all, what's going on. And she could have saved herself. She just phased. She didn't want to.
Go ahead.
I'm fine.
Now, I'm going to call out one real quick because I had a backup if the award was going to be best surprise kicks you in the feels moment, and it was on page 204. It's where Vision and Viv are praying. And yeah. That simple little just direct short prayer. I don't know. That one got me. I was reading that and I was like, man, that's so sad. You know, that one got me a lot too.
All right. Good awards, guys, for the most part. Same with the full page spread wrong. But other than that, you want to cast this thing?
I had it down, but I didn't want to cheat because that's a double page.
That's not cheating.
No.
That's a really full page spread.
Yeah,
it's really full.
No, I cheated. That's on best panel for sure.
That's fine.
All right, let's cast this thing, guys. So, Virginia Vision. Also, we tried to not recast anybody except Virginia from the first volume. That's why we're not casting Vision. So, Virginia, I'm going with Charlize Theron.
That's a good one.
She can really do, like, that stoic thing. I mean, think about her being Furiosa. But also, she's good at really emotional moments, too. So, I think she'd be really good at these.
Not bad. I think I'm going to one-up you. I just watched a movie with Sandra Bullock in it. And it was, she played Virginia. It was her character. Have you ever seen the Netflix movie Unforgivable? But she plays Virginia. That's her character. And like, it pulls at your heartstrings. She has that whole emotional range. It is one of her better roles I've ever seen her do. It's like, and that swayed me right to her. Sandra Bullock.
Interesting. Okay.
She's a good actress, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, no, she is. Yeah, I'm not mad about it. She's not who I was picturing.
Yeah, I was going to say I wouldn't.
Not who I was picturing, but like I said, I watched her play this part in this movie, and I like that. That was Virginia's character. It was that good.
I don't think you won up me, but that's not a bad choice.
Well, I can make it a three-way tie here. I've got Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Black Widow.
Nobody blew that.
She can do the emotional. Yeah. I mean, I thought Endgame, she can do the emotional stuff. But if you remember that movie Lucy she was in, where they were doing some, the plot was kind of crap. But she does that aloof kind of. She does the aloofness really well. Like, I would buy her being an android. Like, she done that part of it pretty well.
Okay, and it wouldn't technically be a recasting, but she has already played an MCU character.
Yeah, it's fine.
Black Widow. She's dead, though.
Yeah.
It works.
All right. Sam, who's your Victor Mancha?
I went with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Kind of looks like him. He's a good actor. No real reason other than that.
20 years too old.
Oh.
Victor's supposed to be perpetually a teenager.
He's supposed to be pretty young.
Yeah. He still looks young.
I'll tell you what, Sam. We'll both get in the time machine. We'll go back and grab my pick and your pick from the same year, and then we'll do a casting call with them. Okay. Because I've got Jake Gyllenhaal. I can see him as being the cool uncle. Yeah. He looks young for a while. We could go back maybe 15 years and grab them both, and they would believably be young. He didn't have to be a teenager. But anyway, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, mine's a time machine, too, so I'm just giving you crap about it. Over there. Yeah. I'm getting the time machine. I'm going back and I'm getting Diego Luna from when he was much younger.
What was he in?
Rogue One is what we know him most from. He was Cassian. Okay. He was Cassian. Yeah.
Let me see.
I think he would just be really good at like all of the sort of emotional stuff that Victor's doing. His struggle with addiction. I could just see, I mean, you think about like those moments where he's like explaining how he's been in the rebellion since he was a young child, all that kind of stuff. Like the you can see like the quiet frustration, the quiet, emotional stuff he's going through. He's really good at packing that around just under the surface. So I think he'd be really good at Victor. What would have been 15, 20 years ago. It's too old now. All right. Next up is Wanda / Scarlet Witch. Josh, you got
this. I think might be my worst pick. So I'm going to say it quickly, and then Jamie, you'll jump in with yours. But I've got Katie Holmes written down.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I was thinking of her from like the first Christian Bale Batman movie. That okay. Katie Holmes.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyways, who'd you got?
All right. Yeah, that's a terrible pick. Moving on. I don't want to slander, a human that's still alive. Of course, there's no chance to listen to our podcast. But I'm going to go with Jessica Chastain. And she doesn't quite look the part either. But the thing about Jessica Chastain, the reason I want her for this role, is she's just such a good actress. And she's really, really good at, like, emotional stuff. And I could see her, like in a movie, we have a little bit more like canvas to play with, and we could see her like the things, the decisions she's making, really torturing Vision, and I think she'd be really good at that.
All right,
okay. That's good. Better than mine. I mean, I think you won, but I'm using another time machine. This is definitely a time machine, and I went with Julia Roberts just because she looks the part a lot, and I don't have to be much of a time machine. I mean, I really don't know how far back I'm going to go, but she's a good actress, too.
I did win that one. I got one.
Yeah, you won that one totally.
Nice. My last don't look so bad with that Julia Roberts pick. So.
Yeah, that's not great. Yeah, Sam's picking from 1997 with Sandra Bullock and...
No, Sandra Bullock. Julia Roberts. Now. I'll do Sandra Bullock now. I wouldn't time machine her.
All right. Moving on. Another clear win for me. Then Vision is next. I'm going to go with Noah Schnapp. He plays Will Byers on Stranger Things. And if you've seen some of the trailers for the new season, they have let too much time pass. He totally looks like he's Vin's age now.
Yeah. Because he is.
Yeah. They all are, if not older.
Yeah, they have taken too long to make these seasons.
You may have won this one.
Well, no, I got a pretty good one, too. I got Jaden Martell. He's from Knives Out. He was the young teenage boy in the Knives Out movie.
I don't know. He gives off kind of a creepy vibe most of the things he plays. I don't see Vin as that kind of kid.
But he was age appropriate, and I think he could be the part. Yeah. Most age
appropriate. I think I'm winning that one so far.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know you're winning it because I also have Noah Schnapp. So
look at that.
I wanted to throw that to win so I could jump on board with you.
He'll be 25 by the time they make season 5. All right. Next up is Viv Vision. Sam, who you got?
Well, since I was already on the Knives Out thing, I went with Ana de Armas. Here's her name is from Knives Out. It can be just a voice thing. She is 33.
I didn't know we were making an animated movie.
Well, CG's awesome nowadays. I mean, she's about to be animated.
All
right. Anyhow, could just do the voice acting.
There's going to be a lot of makeup to make them look like a synthesoid. So,
I don't know. I can still tell it was Paul Bettany under the makeup.
Yeah, but
you could tell
it could have been Paul. Yeah.
I could tell he wasn't straight from the set of a Knight's Tale. I could tell he was a little bit older.
Not much.
And there was our obscure movie reference of the week.
I thought it was awesome.
It shouldn't be obscure, but it is. All right, Josh, who you got?
Okay, I've got Sophia Lillis. She played Bev Marsh in the remake of It.
Yeah, she's really good.
I think she's a real good young actress. I think, well, she's probably not that young now, but I think she's solid. I think she's going to be good.
Yeah, and she's kind of young looking, so she could probably play late teenagers, you know, type age range for a little bit longer.
See, I'm not that young. What's up with that? Sorry.
Because she doesn't. Anyway. So I did the same thing, Josh. I mean, the actress I'm going to cast is a little bit older than this role, but I think she looks young, and so I think she could still believably pull it off. I'm going Elle Fanning.
That is.
Yeah.
And she's just a powerhouse of an actor. So Sophia Lillis, too.
Yeah, and she's only 19, by the way, Sophia Lillis. She's still a teenager.
So. Oh, I thought she was a little older than that. Okay. I have no idea how old Elle Fanning is, but she could still believe we play somebody who's still in high school. All right, wild card time. Josh, who's your wild card?
Wild card. I thought I'd done pretty good on this one. I'm casting for Agatha, who I think is a ghost through most of this. and I've got Wendy Malick for Agatha.
Not bad.
She kind of looks the part. I'll buy her being the mentor for Scarlet Witch. I was pretty happy with that one.
I've got a better one, and he's kind of a remnant of my. I was going to do a theme pick, and I was going to do all Stranger Things people, because I originally had Will Byers for Vin Vision, and I had Millie Bobby Brown for Viv. I was like, we can build this out, but I've decided there was a couple of these were too good, but my wild card is still left for my Stranger Things theme pick, and for George, he's the next door neighbor. I'm going with Randy Havens. He plays Mr. Clark on Stranger Things.
Was he even in this second volume, George?
In like issue 8 for like a second. But I was trying to do a Stranger Things theme, and he's still.
Oh, okay.
This is still the evidence of what I was attempting. He's got like 3 pages, like it was like 3, I think, a couple of panels on overspread over 3 pages. He's on. It's in a flashback.
You're not the Sam's level, but you're getting there.
Not my level. Well, I don't think he speaks.
he had a couple of scenes in the first volume, so it's not a complete rando character.
But he was in this half of the volume, half of the series, but just barely.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to cast Mr. Clark.
What nameless background character are we blowing our casting budget on this week?
I'm so happy for this one. I won up the film this time. I go to page 216.
It always starts with a page pick because we have to. You can't describe the character because we won't know who it is. You have to physically show.
Y'all on page 216?
Yep.
Getting there. That's the Avengers assembled here. Okay. Right,
look at the billboard. See that guy on the billboard? Omega?
Mm-hmm.
That's Chris Pine.
Okay. You've thought too hard about this, Sam.
Why's that?
Because he's being played by Simon Williams. Simon Williams is Wonder Man. Wonder Man was all over this volume.
I know, but he wasn't Omega.
But Simon Williams is Wonder Man. Like, Wonder Man is this weird Marvel character who's like a celebrity and a superhero.
I know. It's still, I thought it was funny I cast for a billboard, though.
But you didn't. You cast for Simon Williams. No, he was at that big dinner. He was with Wanda. He was stealing Wanda away from his almost brother.
Still, I'll cast the billboard. I'll cast Omega for the movie.
You can't make it obscure just by saying it's obscure.
It is obscure.
He's got multiple lines of dialogue.
Billboard, that's my cast.
Yeah. But if you bring it back, though, that brings back a good point to them being a real family, because they've got some weird dynamics there with ex-wives and half-brothers. You know, I got my personality from you, and there's a lot of weird family stuff going on there.
Yeah. What makes it even weirder, too, is like when, because, you know, Wanda helped him make his new wife, which is super weird.
It's weird.
But then when, like, because it's supposed to be just be brain patterns, right? It's like, so mm-hmm. they're supposed to like help him have like a personality to be able to think. But then, like, Virginia's just having memories from Wanda, and it's like, oh, that makes this even weirder.
Yeah, they all, you know, their Christmas get togethers are weird, you know. A little tension in there.
You ruined my wild card. I was so pumped about Omega.
Well, you didn't actually do an obscure pick this time.
I thought I did.
I'll take Chris Pine as Wonder Man, though. I mean, that's
no,
not
Chris Pine would be a good. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, you did a good job with the casting. Chris Pine would be a great Wonder Man.
Yeah,
superhero that's also an actor. Chris Pine. Yeah.
Smug jerk was still somebody's girlfriend. I mean, come on, Chris Pine. That's probably who he is.
I'll try harder next week. Wait till you see next week's wild card pick.
Well, you only failed at the obscurity of it. It was a great pick.
Yeah, it's a great pick. Oh, I agree. And I didn't put two
speaking of smug jerks, yeah. Of course it was a great pick. I did it.
Yeah. That's
my I agree that my pick was awesome.
He's got smug shoulder.
I got smug shoulder, I was thinking.
He's going to get a cramp from patting his shoulders so hard. All right. Well, we're done with the Vision, unfortunately, forever, because there is no Volume 3. Viv's adventures did continue in the Champions, though. She's still kicking around. She's actually in more Marvel Comics than Vision is. But so the next pick, and if people's health holds up, we will be recording next week, and we will be doing one of my picks, and we'll be reviewing The Punisher by Greg Rucka, Volume 1. And that is actually in the title. It is called The Punisher by Greg Rucka. And the reason... I'm not going to read the full summary because of the change in format. We'll read it next week. But the reason I picked this and the reason I want you to actually just go read this thing. It's written by Greg Rucka and it also has art by Marco Cicchetto, however you say his name. I can't say his name, but I can appreciate his art. And so... we've got a great, great creative team, and we've never done The Punisher before, so.
Yeah, a good one.
Excited.
All right. I've cheated. I've already read a couple issues. It's a good time. I recommend actually reading this one.
We'll see if Greg Rucka deserves his flex. When you put your name in the title, I feel like you're saying something. We'll see.
Well, I think Marvel did that, want people to buy it. I think having the name Greg Rucka on big letters gets more people to buy the thing.
Yeah. Well,
it works on me.
We'll see if it was deserved or not.
Well, I think we're done here.
I think so.
Goodbye, Switzerland. Oh, I didn't say salute. Salute.
Yeah.
Salute.
See ya.
Good night.
Goodbye, Switzerland. About Rusty, jeez.